Hello, everyone, and I am back. Welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lrdgaul.podbean.com. Lord Gaul was my username when I first fell in love with kickboxing. K1 fans, Cockatoogie, K1 USA, etc., etc. Also, you are listening to this podcast through the most efficient way, which is the iTunes search engine. Just enter Warman Kickfighting Show, and the show pops right up. Your boy got married. That's why I've been gone. I got married last week. Been busy times. I also had to work fight after getting married. I had the wonderful pleasure of being in the corner when Jinyu Fry got a victory on Invicta this past Sunday or Saturday night. So been super busy. Haven't been able to sit down and get the podcast up to you guys. So I'm going to sit down and give you a full episode today, and I'll jump right into the kickboxing action. Glory had an event, and again, I will be all over the place because, like I said, I've been gone and I missed some things, so I'm just going to go through these as I get to them. But Glory 43 went down to New York. They went ahead and jumped into what I feel is, you know, a really good place to go. I actually got to see it. It's not a huge room, but it's a great venue where they have the garden and the theater. So basically, if you were to go to the MGM, you enter, I guess it depends on where you enter, but as you go into what would be kind of like the middle entrance, you go up and there's a set of stairs and it takes you up and it takes you to where the theater is. And it's really the perfect location to put on boxing or kickboxing, of course, in this situation. It's just so well done, so well set up. I really like the venue. So they did a good job, put in another good show. But this show was marred by, I mean, you could say upsets in some situations for sure, but you could say controversy in other situations. Guto Inocente does it again. He gets a strange decision over Benjamin Adegbuyi. And here goes my problem with this. Again, Benjamin Adegbuyi, the cleaner kickboxer, the more consistent scores. Guto Inocente, you know, did better at scoring some consistent kickboxing, but fills the gaps, plays with this, you know, techniques, if you will, every once in a while. But what I'm starting to worry about is if there seems to be a different judging criteria or judging style, actually, I won't even say criteria. I will say if you look at the consistent way in which one side looks at a fight in one part of the world and how another part of the world looks at it completely different, that's going to eventually work against you. And what I mean by it is this. Eventually, fighters are going to be like, if you fight in this area, you have to fight like this. And if you fight in this area, you have to fight like this. It should never be that way. It's got to be straight up and down. These are how fights are scored. When Guto, and this is not just a Guto and Inocente thing. This is something that's all, you see this in Bellator kickboxing sometimes too. They have, you know, shows in the States. People who come with flash, for whatever reason, whether it's landing or not, it has the ability to win scorecards somehow. So I'll give another example. Denise Kielholz lost the fight last year where she clearly won the consistent kickboxing, but her opponent was playing with flash here and there. And when they went to the cards, two judges had given it to the flash techniques over certain rounds when it was so clear that the consistent kickboxing scoring was coming from Denise Kielholz. They do again later in the year. Kielholz gets the victory. But if it starts to look like Europe is scoring clean, clear, who's getting the most significant connects in a round, and America is doing who is exciting me for portions of the round, then it's going to look bad. And I think that that's what we're getting here. Inocente, if you look at it, to the best of my knowledge, all those close decisions he's getting are all on U.S. cards. So now I'm sure there's one that I missed here and there, but I'm feeling like, as I recall this in my mind, that he's getting those on U.S. cards, and that's always going to be bad. You can't have that for your major product. Moving forward, we will see. I have no idea what they want to do with Guto Inocente. He could fight whoever, but if he fights in Europe, I'm starting to think that the scorecards are going to be different than when he fights in the States. We'll go ahead and move down and look at the rest of this card. I will go ahead and go through the tournament next. We've got Giga Chikadze as he gets a victory over Alexei Ilyinov by split decision. Giga is very talented, very, very skilled guy. He's got that mean, you know, body kick. But I thought that Ilyinov also brought a clean kickboxing game. He's strong. The body kick that Chikadze has been blowing people away with hadn't blown him away. And again, Giga is an experienced guy who's been in this game for a long time. He fought in Showtime back in the day. He's at Mike Stam for a long time. He's been in the game. He gets the victory. Kevin Van Oostrom gets a stoppage victory. Two knockdowns in round one. He takes out Mo Adurahama. Van Oostrom, who went on to win the tournament over Giga Chikadze, he was game from jump. He scored a down against Giga Chikadze. I think it's the kind of performance where you say, hey, I'm legit in this weight class and pay attention to me. Does this make him one of the better fighters in the world? I wouldn't say that, but I will say it puts you on the map. And I think that that's important. I was looking at some of the stuff on Twitter the past couple days, and I noticed one where Robin Van Roosmalen and Harry Hoofs was also kind of joking. He had watched kickboxing. He was like, hey, there's levels to this. You don't just win a four-man tournament and then call off the champ. And then, of course, Robin Van Roosmalen, who is, you know, sporadically trains in Florida, he joined in on the conversation. This doesn't necessarily, for me, mean that Van Oostrom is going to be world-class, world-beater, ready to beat the best at 143. He's still way behind all the K-1 guys, still behind some of the guys in Glory. But the important thing is for him to put his name out there as a player, and that's what happened here. Winning this four-man tournament, at minimum, makes you a player, puts you out there. Now, again, some of the confusion is Glory in itself. Glory has said these four-man tournaments give you championship opportunities, and now they're kind of switching up and saying doesn't always give you championship opportunities. And then you've got a situation like you have in the heavyweight division where you've got a lot of individuals who've won the four-man tournament, who've earned title shots, who didn't get the title shots, who then fought super fights and then lost super fights, and then the super fight person moves on to get the fight for the title and they don't get the opportunity. So it's really, really weird when you think about it where these guys are, but the confusion kind of comes from the top as far as what does it mean when you win a four-man tournament. In this situation, it seems clear, and clear from Glory, that the winner of this four-man tournament does not necessarily get a shot at the title. They already announced that they're going to go with here Adam Chuck, and that makes sense to me. Even though Adam Chuck has lost a couple times in the tournaments that he's been in, the victory over Dylan Salvador was huge, and I think that he's a good, good candidate to fight for the title. Fought for it before, had it before, so I like that move. Van Oostrom can just get a super fight. Right now, Robin Van Roosmalen, Mosab Amirani, good guy to look for. Dylan Salvador, good guy to look for. Look for someone that can move you into the right direction. So I really, really think they're doing a good job here. Next fight on the card I'm going to talk about, Elvis Gashi gets a upset victory over Josh Johnsey. Now, Elvis Gashi, this was, again, an announce you fight. Josh Johnsey, to me, was one of the few guys in the States that was going out there and really putting in the effort to be known as a international fighter. Like he was going out there, didn't have a huge record. Really, they're doing it off of training and him doing his work in Canada and him doing his work with Andy Sauer. He's just training to get himself in these opportunities. But he really wasn't, if I'm going to be honest. He wasn't getting the opportunity to go against some of the better guys from the U.S. because I think some of those guys were, you know, not taking that fight. Lion Fight, of course, they're bringing up some guys, and I know Johnsey wanted to fight some of the guys on that card, and they're just not interested in him at this point. They can clearly see that, and it's true, that he is a level above most of them. So a lot of them haven't taken that opportunity as of yet. Not saying that they won't, but I'm just saying it hasn't happened yet. I look at that, and I look at that mentality, and I look at where they are now, where he is now. He went in, did kind of like a blog diary of his experience, and he goes out there and he goes against Gashi, who really took this opportunity, had a good fan base there, and gets the big time stoppage, three knockdowns in the second round. What does this mean for Gashi? Just got to keep fighting. Got to keep fighting. You got to look for opportunities to go against guys. You don't necessarily have to go against Anatoly Moiseev next, but that's not a bad option. You know what I'm saying? That's a good guy out there who's, you know, Christian Baez is going to be fighting for the title, or else I would have known him. But Masaru Glunder, he fights at whatever weight class. You know, Mike's gym and the will fight whoever. That's a good matchup. So there are some fights that they could do with him for sure. Jaime Kalabali, there are options for him. So now it's just about building on the victory. If we don't see him again until, you know, half a year from now, it hurts us. We need to see this guy, if not three glory cards down the road at the most. So I'm talking 3 month gap at the biggest. So good job, Gashi. Hopefully we'll see more from you. And that's how you announce yourself to the world. You get a big time victory on a big time stage. As far as Johnsy goes, he'll be fine. You know, I think it just kind of comes down to consistency, and he's doing his best because really his only opportunities are glory opportunities. I think he fought in China maybe once outside of it, but just got to keep fighting, and you know, that is the game. I'm sure he'd like the opportunity to fight Gashi again down the road, but it was Gashi's night, big time victory for Gashi, and now we want to see what happens to him moving forward, and Johnsy will just be back to the drawing board, and I'm sure they'll have a guy for him. They're fighting him way more this year. He's getting more opportunities, so I'm hoping that maybe they use him as well in about 2-3 months. So let's see where it goes. Next fight on the card I'm going to talk about is Pavel Zhuravlev getting a victory over Saulo Calavari. And it was interesting because we had 2 30-26s. There was a down called, and then it's 29-28. Saulo Calavari, if you look at the footage that they have of Glory where they're breaking down the after fight and how people, they usually do that This Is Glory, their This Is Glory series where they show events afterwards. Saulo Calavari is convinced in the back that Zhuravlev did not beat him. You know, he's like, he didn't beat me, didn't happen. It's strange that you have 2 30-26s and 1 29-28. So it's like there was a down that was counted, but a ref or a judge just took upon themselves to say, I'm not counting that down. Also a problem. You know, you've got to be consistent across the board there. That's the kind of thing that you can't have show up when you're reading a scorecard. Now, I don't want to, you know, go against this judge. They have their reasons and so on, whatever. Maybe they saw it. Maybe they missed it. Sometimes that kind of thing happens, but it looks bad when you have two people that acknowledge that an extra round or an extra point separation was needed in a round due to a down or whatever, and one person doesn't. It's always going to look weird. Nevertheless, we get a victory from Pavel Zhuravlev, who I'll never forget when I got introduced to him. I was on the, I want to say it was the K1 fans forum, and back then just mega upload videos would pop up every once in a while, and sometimes YouTube videos would pop up, and all of a sudden he emerged, and of course he had the build. His hair was shorter than he's got like hippie hair now, but back in the day he was like straightforward old school Russian style, you know, and he just had a really good combination low kick flow, but he did it strong, really focused on the boxing. He had a great event where he went against Murad Buzidi, and it's an awesome fight. Look for that fight, Pavel Zhuravlev versus Murad Buzidi. Very, very fun. Huge crowd there, and I was like, man, this guy's got all the tools. And then he kind of, you know, came up, and then he kind of disappeared, and then he had the opportunities where he's fighting for Super Combat. Had victory, KO victory over Benjamin Agbuyi. Had a KO loss to Benjamin Agbuyi, but he's still a consistent kickboxer who had always been really, really good and really talented throughout his time as kickboxing. But he had yet to get the kind of wins since Glory had emerged, and since K1 wasn't, you know, he didn't get to fight in K1 before it lost its heavyweight division. Heavyweight division that's coming back, by the way. He didn't have those kind of wins. This victory over Saulo Calavari is probably his biggest win in a really, really long time. So really excited for him, hoping that he, as he settles into a bigger weight, I think he fought 187 pounds the last time he fought for Glory. So, should be good. No, I think I might be off. Zhuravlev fought bigger. He fought bigger. Okay. But very talented guy. Excited for him. That's right. He fought in their tournament. He fought in their 209 tournament. So, that was my mistake. Zhuravlev, I'm glad that he got this victory. Glad that he is, you know, coming off a KO win before this, coming off this victory. He's building his brand. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen to him down the road. Any options good for him? I've suggested some fighters for Michael Dute, but if they want to get Zhuravlev another opportunity, that's one there. So, but the only problem is he's got the interim light heavyweight title. That means he for sure gets a shot at the champion. Only problem with that is it's never been consistent at who for sure gets that title. So we'll see. We will see. Bailey Sugden gets a victory over Arthur Sorzer by unanimous decision, 30-27, 1-29-28. Bailey Sugden, of course, Chad Sugden's brother. The Sugden family, if you will. Glad that he got this victory. They've got their interesting style. this is just my first time seeing him on a big stage, so I just got to see more of him. That's just kind of how I always feel in these situations. The more I feel, the more I see you, the more confident I feel about your abilities against the highest level. And I just got the one outing from him, and I wouldn't even say it's the highest level, just it's the most notoriety that he's gotten in a fight. So I'm excited to see what they do with him down the road. Very, very good victory for Sugden. Joe Taylor gets a victory over RL Sepulveda. Joe Taylor, they had a lot of fun, son of a legend, and they really, really kind of built up the This Is Glory video. Really did a good job of showing him in the back and showing his skill set and how it developed. Ariel Sepulveda, again, a guy who I want to say they used him once before, if I remember correctly, and in that fight, in that one, I believe that he was stopped as well. It's tough to bounce back from stoppage victories, but, you know, it's just if you love the game, you stay with it. You keep developing your skill set, going to Europe, going to Thailand. Do things to build your record. You know, that's one thing that Simon Marcus had to do. He said, I didn't have any fights, and I was never going to catch those guys. So I moved to Thailand for a year, and like half of his fights were like bare-knuckle fights in Cambodia just because he needed to get fight experience. So Sepulveda is going to turn it around. He's going to have to do something big like that. Joe Taylor had a lot of push, had a lot of people behind him, but still has got to develop skill set. Strong guy, very athletic, so we'll see what it takes him, but good victory for Joe Taylor. Of course, you guys have heard me say it before many times on the show, and Anissa Mexen is the best female fighter on the planet. She's been my pound-for-pound for a few years now. I would say since she beat the number two fighter in the world, and, you know, of course, in my personal opinion, Imaan Barlow, both of them just keep winning. They just keep winning consistently all the time, all the time. I'm actually going to talk about Barlow winning on this show a little bit later. But Anissa Mexen gets a victory here, 30-27 twice and 129-28 over at Jetty Menezes. And Mexen has all the tools. I'm excited about, you know, she gets this victory, and we've got Tiffany Von Soos fighting Chicago next month. That is the fight. That is the fight that will determine so much. Von Soos gets that victory. She moves up really, really high for me. Again, she has the other opportunities that she's had when she's gone against girls that you would consider the elite elite. She came up just a little bit short, you know. So we had Denise Kilholtz. She came up short and howling on that one. Fought well, for sure, but came up short. And then she lost a split decision to Kaylee Reese. Those are two girls who are recognized as the best in the world at their weight classes at their time. So, Denise Kilholtz in kickboxing, and of course, Kaylee Reese in full rules Muay Thai. Now, since then, she's had some very, very solid wins. The Glory tournament was a good, cool opportunity for her, but it just wasn't a great tournament. Had a lot of injuries, had people drop off in Imaan Barlow's contract, between the dispute between who she's with Infusion and working with Glory. That didn't work. So there's definitely some things that kept opportunities for her to get that big time win. They were kind of taken from her without her, any of her doing, you know what I'm saying? But with Anissa Mexen getting this big time win here and Von Soos fighting in Chicago next month, the stage is set for these two to meet at some period of time, especially if they're going to do a big card at the end of the year. They got to have those two fights. So I'm excited about Anissa Mexen getting in Glory, getting these opportunities. And Anissa Mexen, we're talking about somebody who fights 8 to 12 times a year. She really stays as busy as she can. So boxed earlier this year, along with her kickboxing resume, Anissa Mexen's the truth. Etoy Gashan gets a victory over Rafael Dudek. 30-27 across the board. Etoy Gashan is solid. He's been in the game for a long time. I don't expect huge things from him, but I do expect a guy who's going to show up, be an awesome, you know, put on a good show, awesome card filler, but I just don't see the greatness in him. Not that it can't be there, I'm just saying I haven't seen it yet. I think Gershon is a good fighter. Beating Rafael Dudek is a good win. Dudek's got a guy who fought in Showtime back in the day. This is good for Gershon, and it only moves him in the right direction. And really, that's all we're asking for on Glory Cards. Gershon gets a couple victories, maybe gets that one big victory that kind of changes my mind about everything, and I go, okay, this is a guy to watch out for. But as of now, I'm holding reserve to see what's going to happen down the road. But is he a blow-me-out-of-the-water, you know, Elias Blade type prospect? No. But he is a talented guy, and we'll see where his future leads. Final fight on this card I'm going to talk about is Tachin Lee as he gets a first round KO with overhand right over Terrence Hill. If there's one thing I can say about Lee, there's one thing I can say about the Chinese fighters, and Glory is going to China in October. Man, they have, with their opportunities, they've done a really good job of not just winning, but winning in style. We've got some KO stoppages. We've got some, you know, victories that were birthed from flash and movement, and they really did do a lot of good things. So as long as we don't want a China versus the world card when we go to Glory. We want the best fighters in the world on that card, for sure. That's just my personal opinion about it. But I really think that they have done themselves a great service in terms of Glory. In going there, finding some athletes. They didn't find the athletes that most of us were familiar with. But they found some really talented athletes, and those guys all came out and got victories that made you stand up. You know, that overhand right's kind of victory where people are like, whoa, you know. And that's what you kind of want from your kickboxing card. So we'll see what happens when they go to China. As I said before, I don't want 11 of 12 fights, China fighter versus not China fighter. I want, you know, give me 4 or 5, you know, fighters from the area, and then we'll kind of see what happens after that. But definitely good stuff, and hopefully we get more consistency, because I felt like they've used a new fighter from China every time. If we're going to build the brand, we got to see the person a lot. So let's see what comes from this down the road. Going to shoot us over to shootboxing. Shootboxing for the ladies went down this past. The girls' S Cup went down on July 7th and had some really interesting things. First of all, let's go ahead and start off with the queen. Rina Kubota gets a victory over Juliana Valentino, and some of the rounds were close. Clearly, Rina took 10 points in every round, but there was, you know, how Japan gets down. They have their 10-10 rounds. Somebody went 10-10 twice, giving only one round to Rina. The other judges gave 2 rounds to Rina and then one 10-10. Rina's the truth. She's very, very skilled. She's building her brand all the time. Just as skilled a fighter as you're going to find on the feet. She's got good shot location. She's been hardened. She's had tough losses. And I remember back in the day, somebody was talking about her personality. Somebody who on the K1 forums was saying that, man, Rina's the kind of person that could have a loss that she didn't like and walk away from the game forever. This was years ago. I would say that's so far from the truth now, it's not even funny. She is legitimately super skilled, has the ability to go into mixed martial arts, which she's been flirting with, and she's been winning at a winning against a solid level of opposition, growing in her skill all the time. She is the superstar darling for their business, and it's not just the skill, of course it's the look. It helps that she's a beautiful girl, and she's got the kickboxing skill. Valentino is a solid competitor, but she's not of Rina's level. Rina goes out there, does it, and moves forward as the it girl for the brand for as long as they're able to do it. Because Rina, of course, will keep fighting and shootboxing and keep fighting and risen. But one of these days, she's going to be like, I think I want to try out that UFC thing, and that means the end of shootboxing. So we'll see what happens to her down the road. But again, we're talking about one of the best female fighters on the planet. Very, very talented. I'm going to come out with a new top 10 list for the women's game. I did one last year and I got away from it. I'm back at it this year. My mistake, y'all. I just haven't been writing as much because I spent the summer getting ready to get married and moving to my gym. So it should be a lot of fun, and I'm excited to see what comes from her down the road. Mio, Tamura, who I should not have messed her name up. I only mess it up because she's only Mio whenever I look at this. She gets a victory over Hannah Joanne. Mio is the other star again. The looks help. You know, she's got this cute kind of, you know, schoolgirl-esque look, if you will. She looks super young, even though she's, you know, in her 20s. But she looks like, if you were to tell me she was like 15 years old, I'd be like, oh yeah, Mio's 15. But like, she's talented. She gets another win. She won a couple of tournaments around what would be 100 pounds to 105 pounds before in the past. Mio's got talent. She's got good boxing. She's got good movement. And I guess it just kind of comes down to finding the wealth of opposition to move her forward. Right now, the people who they bring in, they just come in and lose. And that's always going to be a problem. And we want to see more consistent success from her against higher-level opposition. But in order for her to get that, she's probably going to have to go to Thailand because they really don't have it. The girls, you know, she's limited in Japan, and Japan's probably the second-best place that she can get that kind of opposition. So we will see where it leads down the road, but definitely good stuff. And it should be a lot of fun, and I'm curious to see what happens as we move forward in this, shoot boxing as far as what they want to do down the road and so on. Go ahead and go through some of the rest of the fights on the card. I almost didn't want to bring this one up because of the nature of how it went down, but man, Gabby Garcia against Megumi Yabushita. In the beginning, you see, of course, Gabby Garcia, who they've been bringing out to Japan a lot as a, let's just call it what it is, a female Bob Sapp. That is really what it is. The only difference is she's got a legit resume in jiu-jitsu, despite the fact that her jiu-jitsu technique doesn't necessarily need to come into play as much because she's so much bigger and stronger than everybody. But the appeal to her is very much Bob Sapp-esque. It is because she's big and she's strong and she looks different than all the other girls. That is why they use her consistently on the cards. If you have a problem with me saying that, I understand, but just don't say I'm wrong, because that is why she's being used in Japan. She goes out there and not only does she get one illegal soccer kick to Megumi on the ground, she then looks at the ref confused as if I didn't know I couldn't do that, and then proceeds to go out there and do it again after being told that it was wrong the first time. Now again, language barrier comes into play and so on. But the fact that she did it the first time, he came in and said it was illegal, stopped her, and then she went out there and pretty much did it immediately right afterwards, this shows me a lot. It really does put me right back into that Bob Sapp debut of kickboxing where he just goes ape and tries to, throw the guy out of the ring, and it turned into a big brawl, and it was just the most horrible, disgusting thing ever. But I laugh when I remember, man, that is his start, and this is her start. Her start at least had two MMA bouts before it, but she shouldn't have been in there. They were using her for a certain kind of appeal. It should not have been. So outside of that, we had Akari Nakamura, who I actually like. I want to see more of. She gets a KO victory over Si Yoon Jeong of Korea. Only a minute into this one, just a barrage of punches. Mina Sakurai gets a victory over Suzuki Sugiyama, 30-27 on most of the cards, 130-28. Ayaka Miura gets a victory over Yoka Odowaki. Mizaki Morita gets a victory over Nana Okawaki, and that one was another stoppage. That one happened in the second round. Didn't get to see that fight. I only got to see like half of these. And Megumi Tagawa gets a victory over Riri Nasakawa. So as far as this goes, you want to see more of the shoot boxing brand. And, Mia, as I mentioned before, she fought at 48 kgs. That's a really, really small human being, And there are a lot of entertaining fights and fighters around here. Valentino, as we mentioned before, she's got a victory over Melanie Hergis. She's got a victory over Gloria Piratore. She's a solid girl. She's a solid Italian fighter. And I thought that the way that Rena was able to score consistent offense against her, that was one of Rena's bigger wins as of late. And I really think that the more she stays with the game, the more we're going to see continued high-level kickboxing action from her. So, how far back do I want to go now? I won't go that far. I am going to go ahead and take us to, let's go to Halifax, Canada, where we had an Infusion show go down. This Infusion show was headlined by Iman Barlow as she gets a split decision victory over Ashley Nichols. It's tough to get victories when you go on the road, and you go into someone's backyard and so on. But Barlow is legit talented. She's got her clinch game down. She's got her body kick down, working her boxing a lot more, working low kicks a lot more. Ashley Nichols has always been game. Shows up, very competitive. She gave a really good fight to, even though she lost, she gave a good fight to Von Soest, and just as talented as can be, pushing it. This is a good opportunity for her, good opportunity to fight in Canada. Halifax is a fun town. I was there earlier this year with Jenny Hendricks when he fought, and we got a victory over Hector Lombard, but Halifax is all right, so I was glad that she was able to come and enjoy this victory. Not a super card as far as depth goes. Ariel Abreu gets a victory over Thomas Dalziel. Pumsak Bunpasurth gets a victory over Beniba Ortora by decision. Not familiar with either a lot. Chris McMillan, I actually am a little bit familiar with McMillan, as he gets a victory over Kyle Nelson, knockout in the third. And Joy George defeats Mark McKinnon by knockout, also in the third round. But before I leave this, I think Comet Press has got it up. Imam Barlow, you know, who has now 100 wins as a pro, she's got victories over Melanie Hergis, Samantha Van Dorn, Maria Lobo, Israel Hendricks. I'm forgetting a lot, but man, she fights so consistent, so much. That's the main thing that builds on to Iman Barlow being one of the better fights in the world. The thing that separates her and the thing that separates Nissa Mexen isn't just that they're fighting, but it's that they've got something that the other girls who were great before them didn't have. When Jermaine Durandami started to dominate, nobody wanted to fight Jermaine Durandami. So coaches would keep their girl away from that girl. When Lucia Riker started to dominate, nobody wanted to have their girl fight that girl, you know? So it's like you had to be really brave and really push for that fight to happen. So we're finally in an area. Julie Kitson, she's one of the first where girls were at least willing to go against her because they just, you know, just get beat up in the clinch. But they weren't going to get stopped. So I think most people were like, okay, we'll dare to take that fight a little bit more. But the generation that's come after them, they have more girls that are more willing. And I think it's because the pool of women have gotten better in general. So let's look at Julie Kitson. After Julie Kitson and right around Julie Kitson, I'd say Julie Kitson kind of handed it off to Valentina Shevchenko. And Shevchenko, she fought everybody that there was to fight. She really did have some high-level kickboxing opportunities. Fought all the best in the world, traveled the world, fought girls in their backyard, brought girls in. You know, didn't have too many fights in Peru where she was based out of a lot, but she, you know, won worlds all the time and so on. But most of the time she had stoppages here and there, but most of the time the girls were competitive enough to at least go the distance. This new generation is at least good enough to be serviceable and willing to go out there and compete. And it's really, really helped. It shows the growth of the girls, because I do believe that if Iman Barlow had been fighting in 2000, I think that she would have just been winning by KO all the time. Same with the Nissa Mexican. So it's really, really good that she's out there. She's getting big victories. She's traveling. And, I mean, it's tough to travel sometimes. So it's awesome that she's out there putting on a good show, challenging herself, and you know, really, really traveling the country to get herself better. I'm going to go ahead and stay in the women's game, as one of the bigger fights of the year went down in the women's game. Anissa Hadou gets a victory over Wang Qihan. That will for sure change my rankings. For me, watching with the eye test, I actually thought Wang Qihan won in regulation. I gave her 1-3. And Anissa Hadou, good kickboxing in all the rounds, but I thought that Wang Qihan kept landing the sexy shots, as you will, as I call them. The big hooks, the big power shots. Whenever she threw, she scored. But the big moments for Anissa was she landed a switch kick that got Wang Qihan hurt at the end with like maybe 10 seconds left in the second round. I would almost say it was going Qihan's way before she got hurt. And then she threw punches and so on and was able to get into the clinch. She recovered from it well, I thought. But she went out there, round three, I thought she really let it go. I thought Anissa Hadou had some really, really good moments in the third round. But if I were to choose, if I was a judge, I would have gone 1-3 to Wang Qihan. I would have gained number 2 to Anissa Hadou. Nevertheless, they go to an extra. When they go to that extra round, it was all Anissa Hadou. You could see Wang Qihan was visibly fatigued in the corner. You could see that she wasn't going to have the energy that it would take to go out there and get a stoppage. It's tough to throw heat that long. But Anissa Hadou continued with clean, consistent kickboxing, which is one of my favorite things about her. Her skill holds up despite what time it is in the fight. She's still throwing combos. She's still throwing clean offense. Her skill doesn't go anywhere until she is good and tired. And good and tired at the end of the fight, she's still trying to throw combos and kicks. Her skill holds up. She does not get tired and start holding and so on. When she gets tired, she just throws it out of less pop, but she's still throwing it. She clearly takes the third round. Wang Gahan had a couple moments where she tried to throw, but I'm saying that there may be two series of offense in a three-minute round. Vanessa Hedo wins. It was still a split decision in the extra, but Hedo did a great job. She will move up the rankings. I might even have her in the top five. She's been on a roll. She had the one setback loss earlier this year to Leticia Medjian. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. But she hadn't lost before that. She'd been on a roll. She had, victory over Yona Wymans. This was a big-time victory for her. So I'm really, really excited for her to get this win. Wang Gahan's still legit. And, you know, you're one judge away from being the winner. They'll do it again down the road. And I think Wang Gahan's a good opportunity to win that fight. But, man, good showing. Anissa Hedel, you now join the ranks of some of the best female fighters in the world. Wang Gahan will slip some, but not big. You go against another elite girl, you just lose to an elite girl. So nothing wrong with that. We had a four-man tournament where we had Jam Thong, Shawatana, take on Cedric Menhoff. They went to an extra round, and in that extra round, Jam Thong would prove to be the better. Credit to Cedric Menhoff, who was determined to fight hard in this one. Bit down on the mouthpiece, threw heat, was ready to punch anytime Jam Thong was kicking, was scoring offensive with the kicks. Also, Cedric Menhoff did a good job of counter-kicking. Like, he was literally waiting on the load-up kick. Whenever Jam Thong would kick him in the arm, he would go after the plant leg, or he'd kick back to the body. He had a mentality to win this fight, even though he lost it. And I brought it up earlier this year when Dylan Salvador went against Sitichai. He burnt himself out trying to go for the victory, trying to really bring a lot of offensive volume at Sitichai. And when he finally lost in the fourth, some people were like, he quit, he stopped. I don't think that was the case at all. I think that he put everything into trying to win those first three rounds and getting himself up on the cards. And in doing so, he burnt himself out. He ran into some step knees, and then eventually he was stopped in the fourth. But he didn't, it wasn't for lack of effort. I thought that he went for it. In that way that Salvador went for Sitichai, Cedric Menhoff went for Jam Thong. You could see that he game planned. He knew what he was going to try to accomplish, and he did everything in his power to do it. But just Jam Thong, too much skill, too much with the body kick, too much movement, just too talented. And on this particular night, it really went his way. He gets the decision in the extra round. Takuya, T98, Imamura gets a KO victory over the Chinese fighter Kong Lingfang. He would then go on, of course, to meet Jam Thong in the final. And again, wore some of the damage before. You know, he took some damage before he got the KO stoppage over Lingfang. And of course, you know how tournaments are. They see it and they build on it. And Jam Thong came out there, stopped him with low kicks in the second round. Good stuff for Jam Thong. He'll move forward. Takuya is a talented guy. I like that he got the KO. I like that he was able to stand strong, stay in the pocket. Imamura really showed me some good stuff, but he just wasn't the level of Jam Thong. And especially coming in with a little bit of a leg damage. It's just that's the art of tournament fighting. You know, you've got to win, but you've also got to make sure you've got something in the tank, both offensively and on the wear of your body, to go on and win them. And I think that was Jam Thong's night. He continues to have success in the Kunlun brand, and good stuff, good victory for him. Big time KO for Fang Jing Li as he gets a knockout over Fernando Grunhardt. Grunhardt, you know, it's just not for lack of effort. You know, he goes out there and he puts on a good show, but just got caught, and that's the game. Feng Jili, I've seen him fight this promotion before. That was a very impressive KO. Want to see more from him. He's a talented guy. He, earlier on the card, he beat, I want to say the first round his opponent was, I didn't see this one, by the way, Lukasz Poloski, and he gets a decision there. And Fernando, he got a TKO victory over Armin Hambarian. So I wasn't able to get to these, to all the fights, but I wanted to make sure that I took the time and brought up some of the more significant fights and the more significant victories on the card. So, our, you know, that's those are the big ones. I'll go ahead and run down a couple others, but I didn't see them all, so I don't want to steer you guys wrong. Feng Li gets a victory. Hu Jian got a victory. Wang Yi Wing got a victory. Let me see. I'd say Chang Ning Ning victory over Zhu Yi was pretty significant because Zhu Yi's been doing this for a long time. But I think I've got most of the major ones from the card. So please forgive if you're out there, you're like, oh, but what about most of the major ones I've got? Kenta Yamada gets victory over Yi Akwai as a knockout. Some people say it was from the elbow, but I couldn't remember the rule set of that one. Piotrowski Romanes gets a victory over Ji Wuqiao. Man, I want to make sure I don't miss any major ones. Yeah, I'll stop it there. Probably didn't miss somebody. But Lin Queen Bang got a victory in that card as well. But moving on. Just wanted to stop, give you guys some Kunlun. The big story from that one is clearly the victory that will be Anissa Mexican moving up in the rankings after beating Wang Qihan. That was the big one. So I want to go ahead and move on to another card. Again, there was good stuff all over the place, but Crush had an event go down this past weekend, and I was really excited to break this one down. Again, didn't see all the fights, did see some of the action, but I want to talk about some of the notable results. Zhang Jifeng is an all right fighter, but he gets a victory over Hirotaka Urabe, who continues his slide. It's almost like since beating Koya Rube, everything's been going backwards for his, you know, for the brother. Had, you know, some losses in K1, and now this loss in Crush. It just hasn't been going his way. I'm not sure what I feel the problem is. He got so many KOs, and when he was coming up, maybe starting to believe in his power so much that he got away from clean kickboxing scores. Even in the fight with Koya Rube, he's losing the kickboxing battle, and then all of a sudden he explodes and gets a big time, down on, you know, jumping knees, scores another one. Like, it was the explosive ability to find a stoppage that got him the win, not so much his kickboxing acumen. That has been slipping a little bit, and Zhang Jifeng was able to take advantage of it, 29-29, 30-29, and 29-28 to give him the majority decision. Kui Jianling, of course, is legit. We've talked about him several times on this podcast. He gets a victory over Yukihiro Kamiya. Want to see more of him? Would be really cool if when Glory came, if he got in that card, he scored a down in the fight, 30-26 on all cards. He's legit. He's probably one of the most legit fighters to come out of Japan. Wiru is the other one, of course, the K1 champion. There's a lot of talented guys emerging from China, and I was talking to Ryan Scalia, who's, you know, predominantly a boxing guy now, but we were talking the other day, and he was like, man, it's like China went from not having anybody in the map to having some pretty legit fighters just over the span of like 6 years. So really good stuff for Kui Jianling, who moves on to be one of the, you know, gets another win and moves forward in the rankings as far as the world is concerned. Tai Yin Ha gets a victory over Deke Watabe. Rikia gets a victory over Deng Ziki. Again, I didn't see all these fights, and I don't want to just go running off, you know, undercard fights to you guys. Those are the main ones. Wang Jiang, Deng Jiang gets a victory over Yuzuki Satami. Timusano gets victory over Yun Kui. I think that's the majority of the important ones. I could also note there was a KO by Akira Kanelko over Tadakihiro Yamada. I still think that one's undercard. Probably shouldn't have mentioned that one. Good fights. They move forward. Good victories. But nothing standouters as far as that one goes. But there was a lot of results. I think I did my best job of touching on most of them. But I do want to apologize to you guys for the break that I've had in action. The only other thing I'm going to do is finish with some news and notes. Glory has released kind of a soft schedule. There's a video out there of Core Hammers kind of talking about what they're their layout is for the rest of the year. Rico Verhaeven's going to fight twice. He's going to fight the China card, and then he's going to fight Ben Sadiq in December. They're going to try and do a big thing in December again. So last year's the buzz and the attention that they got for the Badr Hari fight last year has led them to go after it again. They really want that opportunity to have that big-time crowd. So shout out to, you know, Gloria for trying to make that happen again. I'm hoping that Nissa Mexen and Von Seuss can do it on that card. That would be good. Hopefully they put together as big a super fight card as they can, and maybe they get, you know, some old K-1, you know, heavyweight star and some sort of super fight. Just things to add to what that card could be. So they announced that. So expect to see Verhaeven in China in October, and then again in December against Ben Sadiq. And then, of course, they're going back to Holland in September. It looks like now that the gates have been opened to re-enter Holland, they're going to be going to Holland quite a bit, which is what we need. Because you know you're going to get an audience there, and they're going to support kickboxing, and they're going to know the fighters, and they're going to, you know, buy tickets, and we're going to have a big crowd feel. So we're going to definitely have that. So they're going to Holland in September, and that's where we've got Robin Van Roosmalen as he goes against Adamchuk. They're going to be in Chicago next month. Chicago will be Mirtho Gunhard and Cedric Dumbe. Dumbe, of course, perfect for America. Get this guy on as many podcasts. I'm hoping Luke Thomas, all you guys out there, get Cedric Dumbe on your show when he comes into town, because he's awesome, very entertaining. He's the kind of guy we want to push kickboxing forward. So that's what's going down in Chicago. So we got Chicago for August. We've got, you know, not necessarily Amsterdam, so I'll say Holland because I can't remember the location off the top of my head. We've got Holland for September. We've got China, and I can't remember what November is off the top of my head. I want to say it's like France or something, but I'm probably going to be wrong. But anyways, so we've got that, and then, of course, we've got back to Holland for December. So, everybody, thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you for your patience, because I realize I've been gone. I'll be back. Maybe I'll do some sort of special next week, where I put together just an old podcast of, or just, you know, a look back podcast, or one of the special topics, or talk about some special fight event, break it down, that kind of deal, whatever. I'll do something special if there's no content to talk about in the weekend. But other than that, look for my write-up. I'm going to have it out maybe for Monday for the new women's rankings list, and should be a lot of fun. Thank you guys all for listening. God bless, and have a good one. Peace.